Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Robin, you know there is another one. Did you hear? There is another one. Do you know what I'm talking about? Another candidate for president.
Another one.
Former Texas Governor Rick Perry has announced his bid for the White House today. This is going to be his second run. Here he is at Addison Airport outside of Dallas, unveiling his campaign in front of a C-130 prop plane similar to those he flew in the Air Force.
We have the power to make things new again, to project America's strength again, and to get our economy going again. And that is exactly why today I am running for the presidency of the United States of America.
And former Florida Governor Jeb Bush also confirmed today that he will make his official announcement on June 15th. NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving joins us. And Ron, there are now nearly a dozen Republicans officially in the running. How many are there going to be before this is all over?
Let's pick a number, Jeremy. Let's say 16.
Okay.
I will put my money on 16. Perhaps I should say at least 16. And there are that many running now or expected to announce this month or next. So I think it's pretty safe to say we'll have 16.
Have we ever seen a primary race like that before in the GOP?
No, and certainly not in the modern era. There was a time when just about half the states would have their governor up in the nominating process at the national conventions in the summer of the actual presidential year. But that was never terribly serious. That was just a way of negotiating. And to have this many people actually trying to get on television as candidates, to have as many as 10 guaranteed slots in the debate, perhaps a second debate with another 6 or 7 candidates to follow the first debate. That's what CNN is planning to do in September. So, no, we have never seen anything like this.
Well, you're talking about the debates. What about the primaries and caucuses? I'm thinking of situations. Let's think back to 2008. You had, on the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton, John Edwards, Barack Obama. They're running against each other, and if one of them wins 35% of the vote, maybe they get the winner-take-all situation. But with the Republicans, if you've got 16 candidates, I wonder what that means. And let's start with some of the rule changes that they have done in the GOP for how these primaries and caucuses are going to work.
They have a smaller window this year than in 2012 for primaries to be proportionally allocated. Now, before we lose every listener, let me just try to put that in plain English. If you have your primary or caucus prior to March 15th in the Republican Party, you must allocate the delegates proportionally. Everybody who gets a lot of votes gets some delegates. Mm. The Democrats do it that way. The Democrats have done it that way since the 1970s. But the Republicans stuck to the winner-take-all state by state until quite recently, and they still allow states to go winner-take-all as of March 15th. So a lot of states prefer the winner-take-all rules, and they'll be going on March 15th and thereafter.
So if you win after March 15th or on or after March 15th, you will be. So could you win a primary with just 6% of the vote and take all of the delegates in that state?
Mathematically, I suppose it's possible if there really are 16, 17 candidates that are getting votes, but that's not going to happen. What happens is if you have a field even half as large as this, it pretty much devolves to being 2, maybe 3 maximum. For instance, you were referring to those 2008 Democratic primaries in which those 3 candidates, Clinton, Obama, and Edwards, were winning. There were lots of other candidates. Joe Biden was a candidate, as a matter of fact, and Chris Dodd, and a lot of others. But only 3 candidates were really in the running. And I believe that we will see, as we get closer to, say, January, February, getting to the Iowa and New Hampshire contests, we'll see this field pared down, not necessarily to only 2 or 3. It may still be a rather sizable field, but it won't be as large as this. So mathematically, you're still going to need to get a substantial plurality in order to win a winner-take-all state.
So just as right now, 1 or 2 people are joining the race a week, maybe 6 months from now, we're going to start to see 1 or 2 people say, you know what, I'm not going to run this year. This is not my year. How is this going to change how candidates are campaigning?
they're going to decide which states they can really compete in. So if it's a proportional distribution state, that's a good place to go. If you're a second-tier candidate, you say to yourself, I'm going to go to those places where I can get some votes and get some delegates, and that could make me a player all the way to the convention in June in Cleveland. And that will keep some people in the race, even with smaller budgets, even with smaller fundraising, even if they don't have a billionaire sugar daddy, which many of these candidates do have. So that would be a strategy. Another strategy, of course, would be to focus on just a few winner-take-all states, such as Florida. Of course, there are two candidates from Florida in Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio, and obviously it's going to be a must-win for both of them.
Do you think that there's anyone at this point, Ron, who has decided to get into this race and said, you know, maybe if it was just me and Jeb Bush, I wouldn't do it, but since there are so many, I might actually have a better chance?
You might be describing half a dozen candidates by saying that. There are a lot of reasons to run for president aside from expecting to actually measure the drapes in the Oval Office. There are lots of people who are pursuing career aims here and trying to burnish their brand or freshen their brand and do more with the name recognition that they will gain from this candidacy. But there are probably half a dozen who think seriously they may be president someday, if not in 2017, then sometime thereafter.
Ron Elving, senior Washington editor and correspondent for NPR. Ron, thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.